All right, let's go ahead and come back together. I have... Yeah, I was going to ask you to go up there anyway. Can you come up here with me, por favor? Secret. So, we have this print made. I bet you can't guess who the artist is. And we just wanted to gift this to Mark and Ann. And I was looking at these. There's... You're not supposed to talk unless you have a microphone because no one else can hear you. She was explaining the gold that was put on it. Yeah, isn't it gorgeous? If you want one, you can go to Art by the Spirit and pick yourself up one, right? I'm not kidding. If you look, any of the art that you see in here typically is going to be something that God gave to Rachel. And there will always be things that you look at and get out of them. But if you want to know what was behind the heart of why they were painted or why they were made or what they mean or what scriptures are on them, you can go on her Facebook, which is Art by the Spirit. I think a website as well, artbythespirit.com. And you can see all the different artwork. You can buy prints and canvases. And this isn't a plug for Art by the Spirit, but it sort of is. But I would encourage you, you can even buy originals, for some of them. And, so anyway, just encourage you. The more you look at it, the more you see, for sure. And it's kind of like going into places. So when I looked at this, one of the first things I saw was how much Africa stuck out. Yeah. And so we were looking over all the different ones, and I felt like the Lord said, I want them to have this one. And so I'll explain more, and we have an entire printout of all the scripture. There's scripture in the lighthouse. There's scripture all over it, like literally like you see on that dress. It's embedded in this and then painted over it. And so we just want to bless you guys with that. And, so we just bless you in the name of Jesus into nations. Lord, thank you that transformation of the nation is just beginning. You are in adolescent stage, and I just believe the Lord is going to increase and grow that, and I believe that your part in it is going to change as well, and the baby is no longer wearing diapers, but is now walking, and the Lord is getting ready to transition that into a place where you begin to let go of the hand of what that looks like, and there is a season coming where... Your child is going to run. And so I just declare that in Jesus' name. Transformation of the nation is about to run in Jesus' name. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Ann has something. But if you don't know Mark and Ann Tubbs, we've known them for the last 10 years. We met them originally. Sage and I were at School of Apostles with Cheon. And these guys came and prophesied over us. And we met them, read their book, and said, we need to have you come to Alaska. And they've been coming since, I think, 2016 or 17, somewhere in there. Just been blessing our house. They helped us walk through lots of transitions. Personally, when we were on sabbatical, this is who we submitted ourselves to. And just, they bless us and bless our socks off. They're our mom and pop. And we're glad that you're here. We bless you.
Yeah, I just want to say hi, and it's so special to be here. It's really fun to have come, you know, pretty much every year for 10 years, and so I get to know some names and faces, and I get to be part of your body, too, even though we're kind of the grandparents. But, we love you, and we pray for you often. I just wanted to share, too, when we were doing early morning prayer, pre-service prayer, I just saw these keys that the Lord wanted to give out, and we were singing a lot about promises today. And Mark's going to be talking about things of the matter of the mind and the heart. And I, I felt like the Lord wanted me to pray that we would be able to recognize and see keys that He's giving us. I have to use my hands. I'm so tied down. Okay, anyway. So I just declare in the name of Jesus, as He preaches, you're going to recognize, oh, I feel the unction of the Spirit here to grab this concept, this revelation, and then he's going to show you how to use it in your most hopeless places of your life. He's releasing hope in with the promises and to release breakthrough and understanding. And sometimes the breakthrough is a process, right? You don't have to just expect everything, voila, it's going to be great tomorrow. But He's going to give you keys to help you walk it out, and so you have hope as you go and strength to go the long distance. So thank you. I love you guys.
Amen. Thank you so much. I feel loved. That's beautiful. So I was coming to, we did a family reunion with Ann's family, her brothers, their spouses, and we went on a cruise, of course, to Alaska. And in immigration, in Vancouver, my right knee gave out. I mean, it was gone. So I was virtually crawling, using my carry-on as a cane and just trying to get out to the car. And fortunately, within about 24 hours, we realized I didn't have to have crutches or a wheelchair, but I've had to have a cane. And but don't feel sorry for me, because I read a lot and I sat on a balcony looking at your beautiful state. And also went up in the solarium, so it was good. And then I had to make terrible, hard choices between, like steak and lobster. And it was really, very difficult. And I wrote my intercessors so they could pray and help me make wisdom. And actually, I gained 0 weight. And even lost a pound, I think. So we're trying really hard. I'm on this journey of losing this year. And it's a long battle, but it's a good one. Anybody else ever had this battle? Okay. You live in America, you do. Okay. I just want to bring you up to date. How many of you are meeting me, Ann and I, for the first time? Okay. All right. Okay, with the little girl back there that took the communion cup. I see that hand. That's good. We were Baptist pastors, and the Holy Spirit came and ruined our church in 1996. We love our Baptist heritage. I love the word. I'm not saying that, but I did not get birthed really in the spirit or the prophetic. And really, more than anything, what was birthed in me is the desire for you, and I'm talking about you personally, to come into your destiny. I have a passion that you have breakthrough. And so the longer I've been ministering, I have a request from the Lord, is that your life will be changed today. I'm asking Him for that. I'm asking Him for breakthroughs. And what I've realized, the more I preach, it's not what I'm saying, it's what the Spirit's doing. I'm a part of it, but your thoughts and your inner life are as much of the message as what I'm saying with my mouth, because you're interpreting, reacting, responding. And so today you're going to feel some twinges. Okay? By the way, this isn't a confrontive message. It's a very comforting one. It's a freeing one. But you're going to feel some things, that there's some conflicts within you that you haven't blessed. I know that's a strange thing. There are some conflicts in you that you almost have seen as a part of being divided. And I want to say today, no, there are different parts of you. Jesus said, love God with what? All of your what? Heart, mind, soul, and strength. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, you're going to love your Father. You're going to love me in different ways. You're going to love with your mind. You're going to love with your heart. You're going to love with your soul, which is your passion, your strength, your will. But what I want to share today is very personal, because this has been an incredible year that I'm going to share in a moment. But before I do that, I want to thank you, Sandra, for your ministry in Kenya. I hope I get to see that. We have just completed in April a Mama Ann's Safe House for Girls, and we've rescued 30 girls, 10 to 14. Girls that were going to be literally sold into marriage at 12 and 13. We have some of those in our home. We have girls that were participating in incredible, terrible things in witchcraft. We have girls, there's children here today, so I'm going to be sensitive, but girls that were potentially trafficked, and all of them were abused. And now we're there, they call me Babu Shanana, because I do a song. Babu is grandpa, and I don't have any grandchildren in the natural, so now I have 30 girls. And they are so sweet, and they're changing my life. And when I went and saw them, I cried like a baby. It was just like, and seeing their transformation just in 4 to 6 months. And so thank you for taking offering. You know, I'm not a good fundraiser. I hardly ever fundraise. And frankly, it's going to be a weird statement. I'm okay doing it. I'm okay paying, because God's blessed us. And so he's teaching me how to tell people about the message. And you can go on and find out more at TOTN.org about what we're doing with the girls. We pay for their education. We pay for their medical exams. We feed them. We clothe them. We are 100% responsible for them. And it's exciting. And it's fun. And we are going to turn them into these sons and these daughters, and they're prophetic daughters. We're going to rock the world when we go back in the spring, and these girls are prophesying in the villages. Yeah, and they're going to go, what is going on? Because orphans, you know, they look down on orphans, you know. No, they're women, powerful women of God being raised up into their destiny. All right? So, and by the way, the safe house and things that we do like this, they're not God's plan. God's plan is the family. Okay? God's plan is the church. The safe houses, all these extra orphan things that happen, they're not God's design. So we really want to restore families. And I can't think of a church that has such an anointing with family than Bridge of Hope. You've got it. So go, therefore, and transform every family in the entire region. Okay? Yeah, that's your mandate. And if you have never, if you didn't have a safe family, being close and intimate, accountable, and scary to you, welcome to Bridge of Hope. Okay, no. What I mean is it's a place with a safe. Just one more kind of personal announcement before I do the word is, I have a nation that has opened up to me, and it is so, like, I think I shared it a little bit. It's Germany. Germany and Bulgaria. And the relationship between the two is there's a lot of Bulgarians in Europe, in Germany and Netherlands, and I'm meeting with them. But the German churches are very traditional, and they don't really have any preaching on the love of God. So when you go and you preach on the love of God and prophesy, they ball and ball and ball and ball, and they've just got this heavy oppression. And it's been so exciting to be a part of bringing a breakthrough. And so I'm taking another group in October, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to have to struggle and, you know, eat bratwurst and things like that. But, you know, apart from that, we're going to do a lot of just relational transformation type things. And it's so different from what we do in Kenya. And if you ever hear of one of our trips, go to TOTN.org. There's always posted, and I would love to take you. And you can help be a part of transforming culture. We can transform culture. And you say, ah, well, you can see it with your own eyes. We're going to restore family in Kenya and the regions we're in. When we started there, the pastors beat their wives. They don't anymore. They don't beat their children. It's been a big change, and we want to make a difference. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this church, this amazing body. We thank you that you're stirring us to love and to good works. We thank you for these generous gifts, Lord, in the forms of beautiful art and finances and barbecue rub and all the things that you give to us in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. John takes care of me every time I go home. I got this rub, man. Ooh. Everybody asks me where it comes from, and I could start selling. We could do it. Man, this business, I'll tell you, John, this stuff is like gold. I don't know if you know Riskies, yeah. All right, well, let me get to the word. My message today is entitled, What Do You Do When Your Heart and Mind Don't Agree? What do you do when there's this conflict? And before I get really serious, I want to joke, and you may have heard me tell the story before because it was about loyalty, but I am a diehard Rand fan. Okay, now most of you are probably Seahawks fans, I would guess, but probably, is that true? Or wherever else. But anyways, I grew up watching the Rams. I was, 5 years old, had a whole uniform and everything, and I'd go to the games, and all that. And so, but they moved to St. Louis from Los Angeles, okay? And this was in, I believe, in the 90s. And I had decided now that I was no longer going to be a Ram fan. Okay, so I'm watching a football game, and the Rams are on there, and I'm saying, okay, I'm no longer a Ram fan. And then the Rams would, score a touchdown, and all of a sudden my heart would go, go Rams! And I'd tell my heart, no. Heart, we are no longer Ram fans. They are disloyal. They left our city. And even if you're not a sport fan, you understand this analogy, because this was real, okay? And then no, you're not going to be a Rams fan. Something would happen again. Go Rams! And I'm like, this is getting ridiculous. In fact, it kind of irked me so much, I prayed about it. And what I was taking the angle, Lord, why can't my mind control my heart? That was kind of almost my attitude. Why can't I tell heart, come on, get on the program, right? Heart, pull up your bootstrings. This is what we're doing. And I said to the Lord, I thought that, the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I had this thought that my mind could make a decision and that would be enough. This is why you make decisions sometimes with your mind and you don't follow through, because your heart may not even agree at all. Okay? And I said, Lord, why am I this way? You know what the Lord spoke to me? Because I'm journaling, learning how to journal. The Lord wrote, and so I wrote this down. The Lord says, you will never be able to hate the Rams, because I created you to be profoundly loyal. He was affirming me. He was saying, you are very loyal. I love, and then more and more he was telling me, I love your loyalty. I love how you will stick in there when, people say they don't even deserve it or, whatever. You will just be in there with them. And it's true. I won't give up on you. I'm not going to be offended even if you try, because dead people don't get offended. And I just find that my being loyal to me is very powerful. Okay, now I learned that. Well, I want to just share a little bit more. What happened was last December, I had a brother who's 67 years old, and this brother was my closest brother. We just laughed all the time, Dodger games. We spoke on the phone quite frequently, and he was in such great shape. He'd run about 3 miles every day with his dogs, and he played handball on the weekend and everything. And on December 1st last year, he died in his sleep. And it was I'm sure, I want to touch this, that, when someone dies, there's sometimes, it's not like we expect it or we understand it, like my father, by the way, just passed on July 15th. So we're just, he didn't even know me anymore. I loved him. I went to his room 11 days in a row. I said goodbye to him even though he didn't know me. That was something. But when my brother died, and so unexpected, I was really hurting and really confused. It was kind of like I had this process where I would just say to myself, okay, you have some time to grieve, and that's important. And it's like my mind was in agreement. But after about a month and a half or so, and I was kind of battling this sadness and and everything, it was kind of like my mind started getting irritated with it. And it was like my mind was saying, well, you know, it's time to kind of, you know, because you're taking care of my, I'm taking care of my stepdad. I'm taking care of, you know, all these different things for the family. I get to be, I'm the middle child, but I have the honor of being like the, a really a key leader in the family, which is a real blessing. I'm the executor of all the estates, all that kind of thing. I minister to my family first, and it's an honor. And so I'm doing all that, but my mind is starting to struggle with the fact that, like, come on, we got to get going. And can anybody relate to what I'm talking about? No, right? Like, you know how you're okay. It's kind of like as I was processing it, and I was praying about it. I was trying to get kind of like into the swing of things. So I'm like, I'm doing worship and I'm asking the Lord to comfort me, and I'm really big on 2 Corinthians. One that talks about we comfort with the same comfort we received. And so I was doing really as much comfort as I could get. And then I would try to be comforting to others, and I was doing that. But I found that my heart, if I can just say this, it was sad. I wasn't depressed. I'm sad. And I realized I had never given myself permission to say, I'm sad. And like, be sad for a while. I just hope I'm making sense here, because I just want to let you know. It's just like, that was a huge loss. And then just 4 months later, I have a 68-year-old brother, a one-year-old brother, and he, in 2 years, lost his mind so bad he was walking out in his underwear, going into, like, public schools. I mean, I don't think that happened, but close, okay? But he was going out, and we had to put him in memory care, and now he doesn't even recognize his own wife, 68. And I'm the one that had to go down, find a facility, help him get in, help minister to his kids, and stuff like this. And then, of course, with my dad passing. And so what I'm just sharing with you is that I feel like somehow in being sad and embracing the sadness was something that I had to wrestle through and learn that my mind also had to do it differently. And this is when I read the scripture from Matthew 22 that we all know. Love God with all of your mind, your heart, and soul and strength, of course, will and passion. But I started like saying to my heart, it's okay if you're sad. I'm not going to rush you. And it's almost like I gave myself times to be sad, not like all day, but I would have times where I would thank the Lord for my brother or whatever. But my mind was filled with faith and ministry and passion, and it's been an incredible year in the two nations that I just named and some other things. And I found that it wasn't like sadness it was overwhelming my day or overwhelming me, but I found this very interesting conflict that I felt that I needed to get revelation on. All right? So I'm going to share a little bit of this journey, okay? The first thing I had struggled with was probably from James 1:7 that says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. How many have ever heard that verse? Now, I always kind of interpreted that as I need to have a personal unity. I even preached that. That oftentimes when we talk about unity with other people, it's usually a result that there's not unity here. So if we're, you know, people are double, you know, they say one thing and yet their heart feels another. You know, you want to give, but you don't want to give. You ever been there with your, you know, okay. You want to have boundaries, and you feel bad that you did it, those kind of things. And I always kind of interpreted like this verse was about a double-minded man. I was kind of interpreting that I needed to be as much as I could, if I could find unity and have my heart and my mind have like a little powwow and kind of agree to how I was going to be unified. But that's not what that verse means at all. The verse context is that when you hear God, when he says something to you and you say, yes, Lord, and you believe by revelation that the Lord told you to do something, and you say, Father, I agree. I'm going to live that out in my life. But then you turn and go into life and circumstances come and you forget to honor that word that you gave. You stop honoring your, in a sense, your word to yourself and to God are not being held up. That's double-minded. Double-minded is when you have a conviction of the Holy Spirit and you repent or you come into alignment, but he even gives the analogy that you're looking in the mirror and then you forget what you look like. Okay? You forget the word. And so, as I got that revelation, I started understanding, how many ways have I tried, has my mind tried to coerce my heart to obey? And how often have I denied and not had the ability to have trauma? How many of you have experienced trauma? Okay. Loss, pain, rejection, okay, whatever. The human condition, right? And I'm not sure that oftentimes in Christian circles there's enough room because, you know, we can have great faith. My faith is in many ways stronger than it's ever been. I'm believing God for this generation, for my family, for the nations that I go to. I'm not struggling with doubt and fear and all those different things. But guess what? My heart is heavy. I've had a lot of loss. And I have found power in going to the Lord and saying, like, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Emotionally, I'm not the same person. Emotionally, I'm not able to sustain what I was able to sustain. My heart is tired. And I need the Lord's refreshment more and more. And I have found that in this process that there's some things the Lord wanted to show me. That this tension that I was creating was actually causing me pain. I'm going to say something, probably one of the most extreme statements I'm going to make today. I believe that the person that's hurting your heart the most is you. Not another person that contributes, but your thought life and your heart life are directly related to your joy. It's directly related. And that's why it's so profound in Romans 8 when it says that the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So that tells me that my mind, as powerful and as gifted as it is, it must be controlled by the Spirit, or I will not have life or peace in my heart. Here's the point. How do you know if you have your mind controlled by the Spirit? You have life and peace. What happens if you don't have life and peace? Your mind is not being controlled by the Spirit. I mean, if we take that literally. So one of the first keys is that if you want to have breakthrough in your mind, listen to your heart. Because your heart's going to tell you, I don't have peace. Your heart is very simple. It was created to be in the garden where everything was, there was no rejection, there was no pain, you were totally accepted, it was always safe. Your heart doesn't know any different. It doesn't have the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't know the difference. I mean, it knows the difference by its experience, but it's not, your heart was never designed to be in the pain that it is. That's the result of sin. So what happens is that our heart, the separation in a sense, can become actually not a place of division, but a tool for you to be healed. You can actually say, okay, heart. You know, one time I was ministering over in Zambia, and a woman came to the team, and she was late. She stayed 2 days. I think she had like a conference or something, and she got there, and she's tired. And the next day she comes to me, and she goes, oh, it's such a mistake that I've come on this conference. I've come to this mission trip. Everybody has already gotten to know each other. Everybody's doing great. I don't feel like I'm in the flow of the team. I don't feel like I belong. And all of a sudden, I just had this strange revelation, and the Lord said, talk to her heart. And so I said, okay. And it was kind of awkward. You're like with this person, one, you know, face to face, and said, can I talk to your heart? You know, like, how do you respond, you know? It's like, okay, sure, that's weird, but go ahead, you know. And so I said, can I talk to your heart? And she said, okay. And I don't think she knew what was going on. I don't think I know what was going on. But I just simply said to her, heart, you're home. You're safe. I think I've shared this before. You're safe. You belong. You're treasured. You're cherished. I'm just speaking all these things. Didn't see a lot of outward manifestation. She said it meant a lot. She went to her room. She said when she got to her room, the first thing she noticed is that she had had neuropathy in her feet and her hands. And suddenly she sat down in the chair and she realized that total healing had been restored. That night, she had sleep apnea, and the Lord said, that was healed too. I just want to show you what would happen in your spirit. She didn't turn on the machine. She hasn't since. She came down and said to me, Mark, she goes, when you were talking to me, I had a vision. She's very prophetic, by the way. She's a powerful prophetic person. She goes, I had a vision, and my heart had eyes. And when you were talking to me, it looked at me, and this is what my heart said. Is this guy for real? Can you really believe him? You see, there was a part of her different than her mind. And the Spirit was using this vision. And she said to the heart, he's one of my papas. He loves me. He wants more for me than sometimes that I want for myself. He will. You should listen to what he's saying. So she said she just received it. Can I just talk to your heart for a minute? You don't have to close your eyes. You can if you want. Kind of weird. It is weird. I'm weird. But heart, have you been striving a lot? Hard when we get when people aren't grateful or they understand us. They don't feel like we're celebrating. We're so tired. Let's say, heart, be blessed today. Be renewed by the renewer. Mind, we need you. We need you to yield now and obey the Spirit. Mind, we need you to only speak to your heart through the Holy Spirit because you're wounding it. I mean, in Jesus' name, I'll just say, I just want to show you what I'm trying to introduce to you. Maybe you already have this. Is that God wants to use this. And when there's not life and peace, your heart can be wrong. Your mind can be wrong. We're not saying that. We can be terribly selfish. We're not saying that. But when we have pain and it just goes on and on and on, that's why we're not always responding. And you ever have an argument and you're kind of wondering why? Defending yourself, and you don't know why you get triggered. We call in our culture. You don't understand why. There's a lot going on, and God cares about that. Cast all, First Peter, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. You know, one of the things that I want to say to you is that the mind. I think of. Let me share some stories. There are times where your heart can be very, very powerful when your mind wants to get frustrated or give up. Anybody ever said, I'm done. I'm frustrated. You know, why am I being taken? You know, you have this justice that goes on. And the mind just grabs on to it. And the problem is you're right. That's that's the problem. Yeah, what you're saying is a correct interpretation, but it's not. It's only such a small part of the picture. And this is when Philippians 4:7 says, for example, that when we, you know, when we come, we pray about everything. It says that what? The Spirit will, I mean, Christ will do what? He will guard your heart and what? And mind in Christ Jesus. There's a guarding that comes as you're yielding to the Lordship. Now, let me say, are there times where, let me give some illustrations about this, maybe to make it a little more practical. For example, I told you I'm on a diet. How many of you have been on a diet? Okay, you know. How many have ever gone on a diet and you're with friends and you go and there's the most beautiful piece of key lime pie sitting in the baker? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. You're all of a sudden, everything goes out the window. I was just on a cruise, okay? You know, it wasn't like, you know, what do you want? It was how much do you want all the time. Now, listen to this. Your mind makes a decision to be on a to be disciplined, right? But is your heart ever going to go, I can't wait to have 1600 calories, you know, I can't wait to have 1800, whatever it is. Is your heart ever going to really get excited about this? So there are times, I'm not saying that the mind is all bad. There are times where your mind will make a decision led by the Spirit. You will be in unity. And it's a time where your heart, you know, your eyes or whatever, you're always going to struggle with that conflict. But somehow, maybe you don't struggle with this, somehow that becomes a freedom to you. Because your conflict isn't something that is bad. It's telling you I have mixed needs, I have things that I need to do. But sometimes our mind makes the decision to be disciplined. Now, I know a number of you have been in the military or affiliated to the military, right? Which I have a very high respect for. I'm not a veteran. My father, my stepfather, is 94. He's a Marine. He's a Marine. He was in the war itself, and just 3 weeks ago I went to air show and we celebrated him and honored him for his service as an amphibious. He was doing amphibious artillery in Korea itself, protecting Seoul, and it was really great. And that's just a sideline here. But my point is that sometimes, like, for example, we can learn from a military structure is that it has such a culture of discipline, and also you know your lane and you know your boundaries, right? Those things aren't unclear. And sometimes that's a positive thing with your mind, is you know your lane. A lot of Christians do not know their lane. They're all over the map. They feel guilty for what they're not doing, and they feel they're not good enough at what they are doing. That's how a lot of Christians are. That's a place where you can listen to your heart and you can find that, hey, this is something that's not in order. And your mind can say, okay, I got a plan for that. Are you on? Are you willing to follow? And yes, find your lane. I have a lane of freedom. I want to set freedom. I want to have freedom everywhere I go. I want you to have so much freedom, you freak yourself out. Because I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I believe that freedom brings healing. I don't think that rules change us. They guide us. But I think what changes us is encounter with a God who teaches us how to live a life according to His ways that are better than our own. That your mind is very active in that. Unlike another thing is, you know, their studies show more and more. I know it's really practical. But they show more and more that sleep patterns are very important for your health. Is anybody here like to stay up late? I don't know. Piddle? I don't know. I mean, there are a lot of people that do this. But every time I do, I suffer on the other end. It doesn't matter what time I go to bed. I always wake up at the same time the next morning. And I have to be disciplined. So I'm not putting down your mind today. I'm not saying that your mind doesn't have freedom or to make these kind of decisions. But let me ask you this. Let's say you have an unhealthy relational pattern with someone. Every time you're with them, you feel shame, or you feel rejected, or you feel these different things. And you just kind of go, oh, that's just the way it is. No. Every time you're feeling those things, guess what? It's a place that can be healed. God wants to heal you. You know how he heals you? He shows you where you're not whole. You know who helps show you who you're not whole? The people that bug you. You're the one that's responding. You're responsible for that inner life. You're responsible for that inner peace. You know? That's profound. Like, for example, there's a verse that's really been speaking to me lately. I'm not sure when it entered, but it's been the verse when Jesus was on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I've been grabbing onto that. When I get hurt, when I take offense, it's like, Father, they don't know. They don't understand the impact. You know? I'll just be honest, for example, in our family, we have some twins. And the twins are estranged right now. They had a conflict, and right now they're not getting along. And, man, it's terrible. We can't planning family events and all this kind of stuff. We're walking around all of it. And I've been realizing that, you know, hey, maybe as a father, maybe I need to provide some more direction here. How many think it's fun when you need to bring direction, correction, or whatever? It's terrible. And this is another time where your mind, it's important, your mind comes into agreement with heaven. And even though you're scared of doing it, even though you don't want to say anything, even though you get the mind of the Lord and you know it can bring change, I have had to confront apostolic leaders more in this last 6 months. And it started kind of with the Sean Bolt thing, which I'm sorry if anybody there. By the way, it hit home. My son-in-law worked for Sean Bolt. Okay? And that was a very painful ordeal. But I feel like God has cranked up the level of accountability in the body of Christ. Okay? And I'm a leader in the body of Christ. And so I've had to do more confrontation. How many think that I've got excited about that? But guess what? I've had probably 4 major confrontations, and virtually every one of them thanked me. Down the road, you saved me. You helped me. You saved my job. You saved my ministry. I mean, really extreme things. That's when the mind, I'm not putting down the mind. These are all examples when the mind can lead. But now, let me make a shift. How about times when our heart should lead? Are there times for that? Well, yes, there are serious times when our heart should do that. First of all, how about times when you feel like your mind is kind of like going off in the wrong way? It's like, it gets obsessed with something, you know. It gets out of balance. And then before you know it, it's just kind of like, you feel like almost like a victim to your own schedule or your own patterns or whatever. And then your heart says, I'm not going to have any of this. I am done, you know. And the heart's like saying, I'm not in this. And, you know, we even say that. My heart's not in it. You ever heard that saying? You ever said that? What are you saying? Something very significant. Your heart's not in it. Something in your will, something in your deep in your person is no longer in agreement with this. And instead of beating it down, it might be a good thing to say, why? And you look and say, I got hurt. Okay? Is Annie still here? Annie, how long have you been leading worship team? Years, and there's never been any issues on any of your teams. It's always been so easy. Could you imagine you're a worship leader and things are going great, and then suddenly something feels off? Now, you could ignore it. You can push it down. Come on, guys, we gotta, you know, get right back to it. Or you can say, Lord, is this you? Are you changing my heart? Are you taking us in a new direction? And of course, as Annie will tell you, all the team members love change. You see, sometimes your heart knows, but you doesn't know why. And guess what? There was your gift. Your gift was, you're going to be led by the Spirit. The gift is, you're going to change and be healed. The gift is that you are going to grow and mature. And then what happens is now you have the authority to multiply and to mentor and to father and to mother. And God wants that for every person in this room. Your greatest calling isn't your ministry, it's your relationship. And your relationships are who you are. I have a papa anointing, I do. I don't know how I got it. I don't. I wasn't fathered very well. My dad left the home very early, got a stepdad. Totally distant. How did I become a father in the kingdom? Well, I'll tell you how. God fathered me. He made me a papa. When I went to Germany the first time and I ministered, an 80-year-old woman came up to me. She's been doing prophetic ministry for 30 years. She puts her head on my shoulder. She says, "Will you be my papa?" And I was total mush. Because I had the Father's heart toward her. Could you imagine? Basically a Protestant nun didn't get married to set her part aside so she could release prophetic ministry throughout of Germany. Wow. What an honor to have a daughter like that. My point is this. Your heart, whether you totally understand it, whether it seems right or wrong, it's worthy. Love. It's worthy to say, okay, this time you are going to be honored. If I could be a little bit personal too, is that I'm not a, well, that was going to sound strange, I'm not a woman, well, nowadays. You can't even say the word transition anymore, you know. Well, for example, like, my heart, if you had a miscarriage, a woman, women in this room, I just want to say, I believe that that was very hard. And I honor you, and I'm sorry about your loss. That was really hard. Your mind might understand why, or, you know, these different things, but your heart, it's not very easy. And I believe when you go to heaven, you're gonna see your child. I do. And in fact, when I was in Germany, I got this prophetic word. The Lord said there was like maybe 200 people there, and He just said, "Call up all the women that had three or more miscarriages." And I was like sitting there thinking, "No, I don't want to do that." I mean, I'm kidding. It was just uncomfortable, and particularly in Germany, it's so stoic and all this stuff. And I called it, and about 10 women came forward, and they were bawling. And some of them were in their 60s and 70s and 80s. And I just went to each one of them, and I looked them in the eye, and I hugged them, and I thanked them for coming forward. And after the service, they were saying, "I had no one I was carrying. And today I was free. That's my heart today. My heart is that you know what's buried. And you know what you're carrying. And you know what? Those things are important. They matter. They matter because they're a place that God wants to touch. I believe that when we're led by the Spirit, He brings things up. Not all at once. How many has ever had, like, you thought an issue was resolved? It happened 20 years ago. And all of a sudden, one day, it's like it's as real as ever. Guess what? That's God healing you. It's time. You're ready. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? The fruit of it. If it leads you back to regret, despair, bitterness, that's not Holy Spirit. But if it leads you to healing and forgiveness and restoration and even a burden for others. Our daughter first time she got pregnant, we were so excited. And then she lost that baby. She hasn't been able to get pregnant since. So if you ever see me overreact to your grandchild, I will like smother them. Because I'm excited for you. I generally think you might not even know what you have. What a joy and what a treasure. I love seeing your grandchildren. I'm the guy that will, I would love to see your pictures. You know? Why? Because I understand it. And everyone in this room, there's things you understand that others don't. Your experience. And no matter how old you are, young or old, you have a gift. You have a gift that you've been healed. And now, it can change others' lives. The bottom line is that we are not led by our mind and we are not led by our heart. We are led by the Spirit. And yet, our heart can learn to love God. I've found there's a lot of people, they love God with their heart, but they kind of struggle in their mind. Their mind's filled with doubt and self-condemnation and fears, and their mind's punishing themselves and everybody else. And I mean, can I be blunt? How many of you are really hard on yourself? Anybody hard on themselves? Can I stay in love? That's the place to be healed. Come learn from me, for my heart is humble and gentle. Come, Jesus, come. No, I don't want you to feel bad that you feel bad that you're hard on yourself. But I think out of today's message, that might be a thing to say. I am going to really work on not being hard on myself. Is it working? Not all the time. You know, hardly ever. That's just a very practical example. And you can go and say, Lord, why am I hard? Well, where do we learn it? You know, we were this week with Ann's family and her brother, 8th grade, was playing college-level piano. Okay? He is incredible. And they're both musicians all their lives. But Ann's mom, who, by the way, I never met her. She's deep, and I know she was an incredible person because of who Ann is. But she said to her 8th grade son, well, that was pretty good. Now it's time to really bear down. Yeah. That's hard stuff. Hard stuff. Not hard stuff, it's that too. It's hard stuff. Your heart has a lot of stuff. And it was planted there by words and by seeds and by action. And we're not in the blame game. I'm not, you know, we bless her mom. We celebrate her mom, you know, all those things. It's not about that. It's about the seeds and the residues that live in us. And we have a lifetime of being healed because, guess what? We're healers. Now, I'm not one that believes that all we should do is navel gaze for the next 40 years, okay? I believe that we're always called to destiny. But guess what? The greatest thing that hinders your destiny? Not. I believe that you know often, you've got glimpses of who you're called to be. It's the issues in your heart that are unresolved that hold back your destiny more than anything else. Because if you struggle with rejection and you read it in all the time, it will hinder you. And that's why I'm a team builder. That's why I take people to the nations. I don't take you to the nations just to go see somewhere. You go with me somewhere, we're gonna deal with the stuff. Because every insecurity that comes popping up, we're going to ask the Lord to bring healing. And it's a lifestyle. So here's the good news. You're not divided. Isn't that good news? I think it's good news. I'm not saying we can't be divided. We can't oppose ourselves. We do. But you have different parts, and God wants to relate to different parts in you, and He relates in a different way. How many of you have children? How many of you relate to all your children the exact same way? No. Well, Matt, you're a man of discipline, I can tell. And that's good. I like your divine order. Okay? I don't know you very well, Matt, but I love to see what the Lord's doing in your life right now. He's bringing the convergence. Have fun. That's not your main expertise, because you're really very focused. So have fun, and then when your heart says, I'm tired, say, okay, time to play. What do you play probably good too? Do you guys hunt? How many of you are hunting? How many of you came to church today? It was really hard because hunting season opens. Anybody? Okay. All right. Yeah. Jay, I see that hand. Okay. That's a good heart and mind thing. I was looking for you today. You didn't know it. Where is Jay? So, I think I've just kind of, hopefully I didn't just ramble. I know this is not your 1, 2, 3 sermon. It's not intended to be. It's a sermon to try to stir things up. Did anybody get anything stirred? Okay. And but I'm stirring it with a purpose. I'm stirring it with a faith. And I'm sure you're really fun, Matt. I'm sorry I said that. Are you really fun? Is he fun? Okay. I just love the passion in them. I love passion. I passionate people. I get to go fishing recently. Caught my big salmon, not big as yours, but 35 pounders, whatever. Yeah, got to have them. And, but I love these guys who feed their bait. I mean, that's like mind-boggling to a city boy. Does anybody feed their bait? No? That's what this guy does. It's weird. But also, all right. So, in the midst of this, I just want to pray for you. I think, I know that the Spirit wants to heal your heart right now. We live in a culture that makes us feel like our emotions are weak, or they can't be trusted. That's what you hear in traditional Christianity. You can't trust your emotions. Has anybody ever heard that? Well, yeah, if everything is based on your emotions, that's true. You're not supposed to do that. You live by the Spirit. You have the mind of Christ, and in your heart you have life and peace. If not, in one of those things, you don't have the mind of Christ, you don't have life and peace, you know things are out of order. But guess what? That's why Jesus died. That's why we believe in the gospel. That's why we believe in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because all those things come into proper alignment as we have a relationship of freedom and love. We live in a mind-oriented culture that suppresses our feelings, and we tell ourselves if we toughen up, and we can just, it's okay, go through it. And I have in the last, maybe 3-4 years, had a different journey where I realized I stuffed trauma and stuffed trauma and stuffed trauma. And I don't want to do that anymore. And I've seen a lot of fruit, but the more I do it, the more I realize I stopped. And not only that, I passed it on. And I'm watching my daughter live it out, because that's the model I gave. And I don't want to have that. I don't want to have that model anymore. It's okay if I say how you're doing and say, you know what? It's been terrible. I'm really struggling. I'm going through a lot. I'm really disappointed. I didn't get that raise. I didn't get that door open. Or I have a family member that won't even talk to me. Or whatever. Those, I I know we're not just doing that in the hallway, but there's got to be somewhere. Somewhere where you can say that, those things. And most importantly, with God and then with people that are close to you. Because now you've given them a door to love you and to be a part of your healing. So let me pray for you. I just want to just bless you. I want to thank the Lord for you. Because the truth is today, you might be carrying something very deep. And you feel like no one really understands. Or it's hard to get a solution, and there's no breakthrough, and you're not seeing the change you want. And Father, I, for those that are saying, yes, that's me, I want to pray a blessing for them. That you're comforting them right now. That you're speaking to them. I'm holding your heart in my hand. You belong to me. I am your portion. I live in you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Father, I pray that our hearts will be in alignment with you, Holy Spirit. Teach us. Teach our hearts how to have conversations. Just like our minds do. Teach our hearts to speak loudly when it's important. For those who feel like they never had a voice, your voice was always quieted. I say today, may your voice be given to you. May your voice have value even in your own eyes. In mind, we speak to you and we bless you. We thank you for your strength. We ask that you free our hearts. We ask that you free me. Free me from any judgment. Mind, free me from anything that I have against others. Mind, free me from the justices that I'm holding on that are only holding me down. Mind, be free. Joy, life. See in the Spirit. Hear in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, show us what we're carrying that you want to take. Things that we thought didn't even know we were carrying anymore. And this is something you can do. You just take, put your hand on your head and on your heart. And say, I bless your different needs and perspective. Lord, I ask for profound peace and life to be in my being. I release a breakthrough for you to discern the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. To discern the difference between a spirit of control and a spirit of freedom. I bless you with the ability to live in genuine, healthy, loving repentance instead of guilt or any shame. In Psalm 6, David cried out, have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long? Lord, how long? That was an example in Scripture. I just read the Word. How long? And so, Lord, for everyone who would say that in their spirit, I ask, we ask today that there would be freedom, that there would be life and peace. was kind of a heavy message. I appreciate you, all of you. I hope you understand I'm living this right now. And if you don't know me or know me much, I have books all about purpose and destiny and coming into your fullness. And that's all the stuff I love to preach on. And right now, I just have a heart to see you have a breakthrough and amazing peace. Amen. Thank you, guys. We love Zach and Sage. I know you all do. You love Zach and Sage, right? I don't know if you... Yeah. I don't know if you have a prayer team. Yeah. Okay, he calls the leader up. If you had something stirred today, I recommend you get some prayer. Okay, they're ready. These ones who are going to come forward, they're vetted, in a sense, meaning you can trust your heart and let them pray for you. And thank you for having us. And we're going to meet with your leaders today. We love them, have a great relationship, and it's a short, quick through. So, anyways, bless you and we celebrate you. Amen. Anything else, Zach? It's always fun when you're not in charge. You can just tell someone else, like, hey, Zach, it's yours.
No problem, Matt. No, just kidding. Rick looked down and he said, blessed is this man with a hearing heart. And I'm going to address this. First, we got to forgive ourselves before we forgive others. If we don't forgive ourselves, we're in torment with ourselves. We are angry at ourselves. That anger and everything affects other people. It affects your fellowship, your love for each other. And I always equate forgiveness with forgiveness. You forgive with your heart, but then there's a process of forgetting. And it seems like your mind always wants to bring it back up again. Remind yourself to God. And that's where, when you brought the scripture, when Jesus said, forgive them, they not know what they do. That was for us today. He wants us to be just like that. To forgive others. How many times that?
I think another thing to remember is renewing your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. So if you're not in the Word and you're not renewing your mind with what He says, you're attempting to do it in your own strength, your mind will not be renewed. So it's important because we hear with our heart, but we also perceive with our mind. And so we have to wash our mind. So I just encourage you, get in the Word, wash your mind with the Word as your heart is.
When my grandfather died, I shoved those emotions. because I didn't know how to deal with grief. I didn't know how. It felt so overwhelming. It was easier to dive into something else. And after about a year, my mind caught up with what was going on in my heart. And fear came into my life so dramatically, it literally stopped me. And being a type A driven person, I pretty much could always do whatever I wanted. I couldn't make myself do anything anymore. And so I had this huge conflict happening internally in my life. My mind, my heart, I was broken. I couldn't fix myself. I was frustrated. And, you know, in those moments, like Mark said, you kind of have this collision that happens. Am I going to deal with what's going on? And the Lord took me on a 10-year journey to get through that. But on the other end of it, the freedom that came was so massive. I'm constantly in a place of gratefulness to the Lord. Because every time I get on the plane, I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I would ever do this again. Every time I drive, Lord, I didn't know if I would do this again. And so how those things ended up equating to that, because my heart was broken and my mind was messed up, I have no idea. But it did cause problems and conflict. And so if you're in those places, don't just pass those moments up and go, I'm just going to push through and deal with this or ignore it. Don't ignore the things that are happening. Address them. Get with the Lord. Get with your brother. There's so many people in this house that prayed with me, that warred with me through things for me to be standing where I am today. And so it's important. We can't be successful if things are broken inside.
She has a pair of trauma shears, so you have to come cut a piece of this. Don't do what I did and cut the wire. I did. So you feel like all your trauma has been healed. Do this. While he's doing that, I want to invite you to come. If you want prayer in response to the word today, I want you to come and receive prayer. Would you stand? I'll pray and bless you, and you can respond. If not, bless you as you go. So, Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for healing in our hearts, healing in our minds. And, Lord, we just receive all that you're doing in us, through us, to us, with us today. Father, we receive the healing that you are
pouring out, Lord, we ask you to teach us to forgive ourselves, to teach us to forgive others, to teach us to come into alignment with loving you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength. And Father, we thank you that you are making us a whole person. We love you and thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want prayer, you can come and receive prayer. Otherwise, bless you guys.